Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, podcast series sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted here at OU.org, in which we study, analyze, discuss, and investigate one of the aliyot of the current week's parasha in each podcast. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and I'm honored to be studying Parashat Chukat with you. We are now in the fifth aliyah, which starts in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Bet, chapter 20, verse 22 of Bamidbar, and it will go into the next chapter. And if you recall, at the end of the last aliyah, Bnei Yisrael had attempted to negotiate a crossing through the territory of their cousins of Edom. They were refused, and they traveled around. Around here means to the east and then eventually north. And now let's pick up the travels from there. Vayisu mikadesh vayavo bnei Yisrael kol ha'ida hor ha'har. At that point, they all came to Hor ha'har, which indeed may be in the mountainous area overlooking Petra. Vayomar Adonai Moshe v'yal ha'aron behor ha'har al gvul eretz Edom lemor. So they're on the border of Edom, and this is really the northern border of Edom. God spoke to Moshe and to Aharon at that place. And what was the statement? Ye'asef Aharon el amav. Aharon shall be gathered to his people. Kiloya, well, when he finished the Aleph, go back and talk about that phrase. Kiloya vo el ha'aretz shenatati l'bnei Yisrael. He may not come to the land that I gave to Bnei Yisrael. Al Hashem ritem pilim remeriva. We just heard about this in the previous Aliyah, to Aliyot, that Aharon will not come to the land because of his rebellion, as it were, at Memriva. Kachet Aharon, so here's what to do. Kachet Aharon vet Elazar beno, take Aharon, take Elazar his son, the oldest remaining son, and the one who consistently has been referred to as his assistant, as an example in the Paraduma Parsha. Valotam Horahar, take them up to Horahar. V'yafshet et Aharon et pgadav, you're going to take the clothes off of Aharon, v'ilbashtam et Elazar beno, and you're going to put them onto Elazar his son. Which particular clothes? These have to be the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. The idea is that there's going to be an investiture of Elazar as the Kohen Gadol as Aharon removes himself from the post. Aharon yasefu meitcham, and Aharon will be gathered to his people and he will die there. That's the command. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Adonai. And Moshe did exactly what God commanded. Vayalu al harahar lenei kol ha'ida. They went up in front of the eyes of everyone, which means everybody saw them going up, whether everybody understood what was happening, but everybody saw it. Moshe did exactly as commanded. He took off Aharon's clothes, he put them onto Elazar, Vayamot Aharon Sham Barosh Ahar, and Aharon died there on top of the mountain. Vayerd Moshe Elazar Minahar, and Moshe and Elazar came down from the mountain. Vayeru Kol Haidaki Gava Aharon, Vayevkuot Aharon Shloshim Yom Kol Beit Yisrael. Everybody saw that Aharon had died because he didn't come down with them, and they also saw Elazar with his garments on. They wept for Aharon. Who wept for Aharon? Kol Beit Yisrael for 30 days. Several things to say about this. First thing is to note that in the hills above Petra, there is an area known as Kever Aharon, where according to some traditions, Aharon is buried. There have been people who have excavated there. Indeed, that location is mentioned in Josephus. The second thing is that you note at the last few words that all of Beit Yisrael mourned for Aharon. The Gemara, based on the Midrashim, picks up on the distinction between this and the fact that when Moshe died, it was Bnei Yisrael who mourned. The notion being these were only the leaders and the men. Here it was everyone who mourned, and the reason was because Aharon was a great peacemaker between husband and wife and between neighbors. He was always the one who knew how to bring peace, and because he was the great peacemaker, that's why he was the Kohen Gadol, to bring peace between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore everyone mourned his death because he was valuable to everyone, and everyone indeed would miss him. Last point to make before we move on to the next part of this aliyah is that curious phrase, Ye'asef Aharon Elamav, that Aharon shall be gathered to his people in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Dalad, and the description of it in Pasuk Chaf Chet, Aharon was gathered to his people, in Pasuk Chaf Vav, the conclusion of the command. What does it mean to be gathered to his people? in ancient burial rites that we have from First Temple times and from before that, the people were not buried in a grave the way we see it, but were buried in a cave, in a catacomb. What happened is a catacomb would have several rooms, and each room would have perhaps one or two beds where a body would be laid. What happens when you run out of beds? So they would take the bones of the person who had been there the longest, and they would throw them originally into a hole in the middle, and that hole was called the Osef, the place where all the bones were gathered. And you literally were lying with your ancestors, or your bones were literally gathered to your people. In later times, and by Cheney times, there was already the construction of gluskamaot, of ossuaries, which are boxes, in which when space was needed, the bones would be put there, and a wealthy family would have the names written on the box, and it'd be ornamental. But in the meantime, in this period, that's exactly what would happen. Now, as I mentioned, Aharon's death was mourned by everybody because he was, according to the Midrash, the great peacemaker, which leads us to the next passage. Vayishma ha-Kana'ani melech Arad, Yoshev ha-Negev. So now what happens? There's a king of the town of Arad, which is not far from current-day Arad in the Negev. And there is a king, this king of Arad hears. What does he hear? We don't know what he hears. We've got to find out in a minute. Ki ba Yisrael derech ha-atarim, that Am Yisrael is coming through that direction. Vayilachem b'Yisrael. So he went to war. This is a preemptive war to try to beat Yisrael back and keep them from entering the land. Vayish mimenu shevi. And they were successful and took captives in this war. What happened? Vayidar Yisrael neder l'Adonai vayomar. Now there's an interesting piece because in the previous Aliyah we saw that Yisrael here and Yaakov in Bereishit were parallel, sending agents ahead to Esav. We're coming through the land, etc. Here, there is also a parallel. The only one in Bereishit to take a vow is Yaakov. Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor. And what was the vow? If you take care of me, then I will sanctify. What do we have here? Im naton titen ta'amazeh biyadi v'achram tiyatarehem. If you give this nation to me, meaning if you allow me to win, then I will destroy their cities and dedicate them to you. And it's parallel to what Yaakov said about, I'm going to make this a Beit Elohim. So what happens? Vayishma Adonai b'kol Yisrael. That doesn't mean that God was listening to the Israeli radio station. It means that God listened to the voice of Israel. Vayitein et ha-Kana'ani. And he gave the Kana'anim over to Yisrael. In other words, we won. And vayichrem etem v'tarehem. Kreshem makom achorma. And what happened is they destroyed the city and they called the city Chorma, meaning dedicated to God. Important to note that in Sefer Shoftim Perak Aleph, there is another town called destroyed and changed into Chorma. It's called Tzfat, and it's not the famous Tzfat. It's one that's also in the south. And they continue traveling. Vayisu mehor ahar. So the notion is that they were camped at Hor Ahar. This war happened, if we follow this sequentially. And then they move on. Vayisu mehor ahar derech Yam Suf, meaning they went south. Lisbo v'teretz Edom. They had to go around Edom. And now on the way, the people got very short-winded, meaning became sort of frustrated. And again, there's complaints. They complained against God and against Moshe. Why did you take us out of Egypt to die in the desert? Again, the same complaint. But this time it's, there's no bread or water. We've had it with this hurtful bread. They're referring to the man. They don't want the man. Enough of this. So what does God do? Vayishalach Adonai ba'am etan nachashim hasrafim. He sent, literally, snakes with poison. Vayinashchu et ha'am, and they bit the people. Vayamotam rav Yisrael, and a lot of people died. Now the people realize they had sinned. I'll share with you in a moment how this plays in. Vayivo ha'am ha'moshe. Vayimuchatanu. They come to Moshe. We've sinned. Ki dibarnu ba'adonai vavach. We complained against God. We complained against you. By the way, this is the first time that people directly name God in their complaints as opposed to every time up till now when it's only been Moshe or Moshe and Aharon. He'd palel al Adonai, you pray to God, v'yaseh milenu tanachash, and get these snakes away from us. He'd palel Moshe baram, and Moshe prayed on their behalf. They were contrite, he prayed on their behalf. V'yomer Adonai al Moshe, aseh lecha saraf, v'sim oto al nes. So Hashem said to Moshe, make a saraf, which sounds like a form of this poison or form of this snake, and put it up on a pedestal. And anybody who's bitten and who has not yet died will look at it and will live. And this is what's called Nechash HaNechoshet, and this goes all the way down to Chizkiyahu's time, when Chizkiyahu destroys it because the people were worshipping it. There's a play on word Nechash, Nechoshet, Nashach, even though it's a Chaf and a Chet. If a snake would bite someone, V'bit on Nechosh HaNechoshet V'chai, that person would look at this copper snake and he would live. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah famously said, V'chi Nechash V'mit on Nechash V'chayeh, even though simple pshat in the Pasuk is that there was some special quality to looking at this copper snake and you would live. Nonetheless, the Mishnah insists that what it means is by looking at the snake you're reminded that God is in charge and you would pray to God and then you would be healed. Important point here I heard many years ago from someone, suggestion as to why the snakes is the response to the complaints about the man. That essentially you have people who are living in a magical kind of bubble. They've got clouds protecting them. Until recently they've had no attacks. They've gone through the desert. They've been fed. They've had water. They've had everything taken care of for them. And instead of being appreciative of what they have, they're complaining they don't like to live in an unnatural setting. They don't want this heavenly bread. They want regular stuff. So God's response simply is, you want regular? I'll give you regular. I'll take all the protection away. And now, what do you think happens in the desert? You got poisonous snakes. You got all sorts of things attacking you. And then the people realize that, and they come back to Moshe, and they confess their sins. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals them by this method of the Nechash HaNechoshet. Okay, we'll pick it up with the sixth aliyah in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.